This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. On the way to the masjid, I was thinking about something that Mufti Abdurrahman Mangira taught us, Sheikh Salim, in the one i'tikaf that we performed. We were doing the hikam of Ibn Ata'illah Iskandari. And I was driving here thinking that, you know what? We may become deluded at times when we engage in ibadah or when we enter into a class or we make dhikr that we are choosing to engage in that ibadah. And then we sit and we hope that Allah accepts it or that it's going to have a difference, it's going to make a difference, that our niyyah, our intention is going to be accepted from us. When in actual fact, like the reality is, it's not me coming here, sitting in the masjid, engaging in dhikr, entering into the class, because I wanted to do so. It is that Allah selected me to be here to do so. And the fact that Allah selected me for His worship in and of itself is a sign that Allah wants to accept it from me. And when I say me, I mean, you know, generically, all of us. So often we spend a lot of time trying to get people to participate in classes, adhkar, circles, etc. But those who are already engaged, those who are sitting here in the masjid today, and those even on the stream, you know, taking the time to join us for this, should take a moment just to thank Allah for granting us this opportunity. Just that is enough. And whatever else happens beyond that is like, it's extra. It's extra. Every utterance, every second sitting here in the reflection of Allah, it is us drawing closer to Allah. Not because we want to draw closer to Allah, but because Allah wants to bring us closer to Him. Subhanallah. And this is why gatherings of dhikr has such a special significance. There are those who prefer making dhikr alone, right? But making dhikr alone and making dhikr in a gathering is two separate entities, both of which are virtuous. And Allah speaks about both in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted the virtues of both as well. For example, the very well-known hadith Qudsi, "Man ada li waliyan faqad adhantuhu bil harb." The one who harms a friend of mine, of Allah, I, Allah, declare war upon that person. And then it carries on. I don't think I've got the right hadith, but anyway, the point that I want to get to is, "Man dhakarani fi nafsihi, dhakartuhu fi nafsi." Whosoever mentions me or remembers me personally, I, Allah, will remember that person personally. وَمَنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ, whosoever remembers me in a gathering, in a group, ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أو كَمَا قَال, I will remember that individual in a much better gathering than that gathering. Which gathering is that? The gathering of the angels. So with that as a prelude, we are linking ourselves back to this tradition of dhikrullah, which is an intrinsic part of being a Muslim, and it's an intrinsic part of Islam. And then we specifically looking at our own cultural tradition and the way in which we make dhikr, because dhikr is something that is very flexible. It's quite flexible, right? What does Allah say about salah? Can you just make salah like you want, when you want, how you want? No, you can't. It's أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ, for example. It is Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Salah is at prescribed times for believers. Very specific. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray exactly as you see me pray. Right? That's about salah. Hajj. Can you just like wing it? Just go there and then, okay, what do I do next? Or just go with the flow. You can't do that. خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take your rituals of Hajj from me, the Prophet ﷺ. Which is why we have to learn the very specific formulae. Dhikr, what does Allah say? اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. How much you make dhikr? A lot. How much you make dhikr? A lot, abundantly. So because of the flexibility in dhikr, in traditional Islam, and I'm speaking about Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the four madhahib, right? The Asha'ira, the Maturidiyah. There's generally a lot of flexibility among Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah as far as dhikr is concerned. And there's differences of opinion as well, you know, in terms of the ways. Some would say, no, loud dhikr is inappropriate. Others would say, no, loud dhikr is fine. Some would say, dhikr in unison is inappropriate. Others say, no, dhikr in unison is fine. You know, to the extent where some would include movements in adhkar, right? So certain turuk, certain Sufi paths, right? And the Shadhili path in particular is the one I'm thinking about. They have what you call hadara. And while most others don't agree with it, it's still part of the tradition because they generally considered to be a traditional path. So there's a lot of flexibility is what I'm getting at. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. I have my own inclinations, for example. I don't necessarily incline towards a certain type of dhikr or an emphasis on a certain type of dhikr. But that leads us to where we are here, locally, in our own context. We have a beautiful tradition of dhikrullah that comes from the very earliest stages of our existence here in the Cape of Good Hope. And it was a means through which our forefathers could gather the community at regular intervals to not only teach them, but also to provide spiritual nourishment, which we so desperately needed at the time. Not that we don't need it now, but you're talking about a time when there were no masajid. Just think about that for a second. This masjid, according to what I was told, is about the 12th mosque to be built here. Number 12, right? It's over 100. And how many years old, Uncle Tavin? 125. Very, very old. Not the people sitting on the top and just the asli part of the mosque. 125 years old. Before that, there was no masjid, but there were gatherings of dhikr. There was a stage in which Islamic education... Today we talk about the state of the madrasas and the state of the hifd schools and the state of education. There was nothing then. Nothing. Nothing. But then Allah sent amazing individuals to plant the seeds of not only iman, but the seeds of ihsan and the seeds of Islam. What do I mean by that? They not only came with, this is what you must believe in, amantu billahi wa malaikati. No. They also fulfill the other branches of our tradition, what we believe in. So we have books by Sheikh Yusuf of Makassar, rahimahullah, as well as Tuan Guru, handwritten books on Aqidah. Everybody knows about the handwritten Qurans, but we have books on Islamic belief, theology, right? Because that was fundamental. They wrote books, handy books on fiqh, how to practice your deen. And then as far as the spiritual practices were concerned, they belonged to tariqas, right? I don't know the full history. I've read it long ago, but I don't know all the details. I'm not going to mention everything. But they were also considered leaders in spiritual paths. So they brought the adhkar as well. And through those means, establishing education, gatherings of dhikr, remembrance of Allah, they brought hope to a nation that had practically none at the time. So slaves would embrace Islam because they felt human among the Muslims. They felt like humans among the Muslims, and they felt that they were being uplifted. In other houses of worship, they were relegated to the back or even outside because they were not equal. This was the tradition that we had. Then you fast forward to when many of us were growing up. This brought our families together, and it also gave us an attachment to deen. For some, it was the only attachment to deen, right? That's not a good thing, but it's better than nothing, right? So some people were not making salah, but Thursday night they were in the hadat, right? They weren't waking up for fajr, but look here, groot ana, any masjid, donderdag ana, TV is off, you know, that type of thing. So we have a lot to celebrate, but we don't celebrate simply because of its nature in being part of our heritage. We actually need to make sure that what we do is not contaminated by foreign beliefs or practices that goes contrary to the Quran and the Sunnah. So there's always room for improvement. And as we mentioned last week in the preludes to this, inshallah, we're going to try and work on such improvements as we go along while still maintaining the links to our heritage, inshallah. I got my colleague with me, mashallah, Sheikh Salim. And I asked him to join me because I discovered last night after running that I was actually a bit sick. No worry, it's not COVID. And then I couldn't go through with the dhikr myself, and Uncle Fahmi is also sick, unrelated, and he couldn't make it. May Allah grant him shifa and all of those who are ill. So I called Sheikh Salim, and he was so kind to join us, inshallah. So I'm going to ask him to lead us in the dhikr this evening, and I'm going to ask the jama'ah to participate, right? And then we will follow up that session of recitation with some lessons about the recitation as well, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And I do encourage you, if you have questions, Sheikh Salim, mashallah, is not just a bacha man, he's also a qualified bacha man, right? Not only he didn't just get sanad in the khadat, he got sanad in the sab'a qira'at. So you can ask him any of your recitation questions that you need. May Allah grant us the tawfiq.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله we thank and we praise Allah we send salutations on Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم his family and friends and all those who follow just before we start Alhamdulillah the legacy of the Khadat has come on in Cape Town for well over 300 years with the first Muslims that came, and just as Maulana so beautifully said, it is what had kept the communities together. When I sometimes think about it, please don't laugh at my example, but capoeira is like a martial art, but it's designed to be like a dance, so it's like an undercover thing, man. And in my mind, sometimes I think that is maybe what the lagu was thought of to be as an additive to the dhikr that is being made. Because they were slaves. So no komibas, no wat makele, nay, was sung maneta bichisa. So, you know, sort of an undercover thing. Allah alam, if that is part of the reason that it was. But alhamdulillah, the dhikr and what is the most important came down to us with that. And then along with what we say is the lagu, something sort of crept in there that's perhaps watered down the level of Quran recitation and attention that must be given to the Quran. So the most common mistake that I perhaps hear in the most common improvement point is like the lengthenings and the pullings that we would do when reciting those verses of the Quran. So inshallah, when we do this recitation now, you will hear I will go faster at certain places that usually you would be familiar with that gets pulled, and I might pull at other places that you might not be familiar with. But inshallah, the way that I will try to recite it will be in accordance with the rules of tajweed, of correct Quranic recitation, which is of course the most important thing that we remember when reciting Quran. When making any other dhikr that is non-Quranic dhikr, then of course the words, the meaning is what is kept intact, what is thought about, but there's no sort of tajweed rules There's no specific way of how to recite any other dhikr. So you could add a lagu, you could pull here, you could shorten there as you would want to. It's sort of separate. Dhikr is not, tajweed is not a requirement of dhikr, but tajweed, correct recitation, is part in the requirement of reciting Quran. So inshallah we'll do so now, and we'll ask Allah Ta'ala to accept all of our efforts. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إلى حضرة النبي المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وأهل بيته الكرام الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. الصراط المستقيم صراط لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ورحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت إنه حميد مجيد إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل أفضل الصلوات على أسعد مخلوقاتك حبيب الله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عدد معلوماتك ومداد كلماتك كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكرك الغافلون اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عدد خلقك ورضا نفسك وزينة عرشك ومداد كلماتك كلما ذكرك الذاكرون وغفل عن ذكرك الغافلون وسلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى عن أصحاب رسول الله أجمعين وأنت حسبنا ونعم الوكيل ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم نستغفر الله نستغفر الله نستغفر الله نستغفر الله العظيم فاعلموا أنه أفضل الذكر حقا لا إله إلا الله حي موجود لا إله إلا الله حي باق لا إله إلا الله حي مقصود لا إله إلا الله حي الذي لا ينام ولا يموت لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا 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 الله لا إله لا إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمة حق عليها نحيا وعليها نموت وعليها وبها نبعث إن شاء الله تعالى من الآمنين برحمة الله وكرمه جزى الله عنا سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرا بما هو أهله جزى الله عنا سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرا بما هو أهله جزى الله عنا سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم خيرا مما هو أهله والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة
Okay, خير إن شاء الله I will together. Okay, what I'll do is now, to the best of my ability, inshallah, and I'll give some of the fadail of what is recited generally, and I'll try to do this as quickly as possible, because we often speak about these things, at least I do in the masjid. So Yasin we've covered, Mulk we've covered in separate courses. There was a question that came through last week after the class about reciting Surah Yasin for somebody who has passed away. There's a lot of misconceptions around that. People say, you know, you can't bacha until the person has been ghusled. ladies have the haid, they can't be in there, and you know, mirrors must be covered. What else? There's a few things, but those are all misconceptions for which there's no basis. Yeah, the ladies who have their haid can't wash. It's also a misconception. There's no evidence for that. And then the recitation of Yasin is perfectly fine over the dying, and if the person has passed on as well. Let's go to the three calls, inshallah ta'ala. For those online, the Arabic looks much better in the masjid. I don't know what happened to the online version. So that's another sign that you shouldn't be watching this from the comforts of your home. It should be in the masjid, inshallah. من قرأ بعد الجمعة فاتحة الكتاب وقل هو الله أحد وقل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس حفظ ما بينه وبين الجمعة.
Whoever recites after Salat al-Jum'ah, he recites Surah al-Fatiha, and he recites the three quls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him between then and between the next Jum'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a stamp of, yani, he will protect him for whatever things might happen. There's other ahadith that speak about the actions done on a Jum'ah, expiating the minor sins from the one Jum'ah to the next Jum'ah. This protection is some form thereof.
عن عقبة بن عامر أنه قال أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أقرأ بالمعوذات في دبر كل صلاة.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had commanded me that I recite the معوذات, the surahs that start with أعوذ, the surahs to seek Allah's refuge, that I recite that after every salah, after every fard salah.
Just how would they do that, Malna, practically speaking?
So with your dua, after your dua, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, whatever other dua a person would recite, it needs no lagu, it needs no loud recitation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, min sharri ma khalaq, wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, wa min sharri nafathati fil uqad, wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad.
You can include Qul huwallahu ahad as well. That's part of the sunnah. All three. Recite all three, inshallah.
So this hadith mentions the two mu'awwidhat, but the other hadith speaks about Qul huwallahu ahad as well. So from all the hadith together, we recite all the surahs.
Naam. It's a bit of a lengthy one. I'll do it in stages, inshallah. Qala laqitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I met the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام.
فقال لي يا عقبة بن عامر.
And he said to me, أو عقبة.
صل من قطعك.
Join the people that cut themselves from you.
وأعطي من حرمك.
And give those who deprive you.
وأعف عمن ظلمك.
And pardon those who wrong you.
قال ثم أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
I then came a second time to the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام.
فقال لي يا عقبة.
And he told me, عقبة.
أملك لسانك.
Hold fast up your tongue, keep your tongue, hold your tongue, restrain your tongue. Watch what you say.
وَبَكِ عَلَى خَطِيئَتِكَ.
Cry over your sins.
وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ.
And let your home be sufficient for you. Create such an environment in your home that your wife and your children and whatever you have positions as best as can be for you, that all your entertainment and enjoyment is over there, that you don't need to go looking for too much entertainment and enjoyment outside the safety of your home.
Yeah, this is a side note, but for those who can afford it, if your family wants a jacuzzi, coop a jacuzzi. If they want a nice entertainment system, coop it for Allah. Rather let them be in the house, right? That's what it means. Let your house be your comfort zone. قال ثم لقيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
I then met him on a separate occasion thereafter.
فقال لي يا عقبة بن عامر.
And he told me again, أو عقبة.
ألا أعلمك سورا ما أنزلت في التوراة ولا في الزبور ولا في الإنجيل ولا في الفرقان مثلهن.
Should I not teach you some chapters that were not present in any of the revealed books? Not present in the Torah, not present in the Injil, not present in the Zabur.
Not even in the Quran.
وَلَا فِي الْفُرْقَانِ. Not present in the Quran.
No. Your mic is apparently softer than mine, so just hold on, so enough. لَا يَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَيْلَةٌ إِلَّا قَرَأْتَهُنَّ فِيهَا قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
Do not let any one night pass except that you recite these surahs. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْقُلْ وَلَوْ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And it was the Prophet ﷺ's regular habit to recite it at night before going to go sleep.
نعم. عن معاذ بن عبد الله بن خبيب بن عن أبيه قال خرجنا في ليلة مطيرة وظلمة شديدة نطلب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
We went out on a severely afflicted with weather night, so lots of rain, lots of mud, lots of darkness, but we were looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
يصلي لنا.
We wanted him to lead us in salah.
قال فأدركته فقال.
I found him and then he told me.
قل فلما أقول no. قل فلم أقول شيئا.
When he saw me, I did not say anything. I did not have anything. I didn't know what to say. I didn't find the words to address him.
ثم قال قل.
And then he told me, say what it is that
فلم
you want to say.
شيئا.
And I could not say anything.
قال قل.
And he told me, say.
قلت ما أقول.
And I said, Ya Rasulullah, what can I say to you?
قال قل هو الله أحد.
Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told him, say, he is Allah the one.
والمعوذتين.
And say the two mu'awwidh surahs, seeking Allah's refuge.
حين تمسي وتصبح.
When you wake up and when you go sleep.
ثلاث مرات.
Three times each.
تكفيك من كل شيء.
And it will suffice you from every single thing.
نعم. عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة.
We spent the night with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم one night.
يصلي.
And
he was making salah.
Okay. He was making salah.
فوضع يده على الأرض.
And he placed his hand on the earth.
فلدغته أقرب scorpion.
And a scorpion came and bit attacked him.
فتناولها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And he تناولها he took it in like he didn't let
بنعليه.
The bite. He didn't let the bite disturb him from his salah that he was busy with. He ate it أنخو.
فقتلها.
And then
بنعليه.
Oh, so he killed it with his sandal.
فلما انصرف قال.
When he turned after the salah, he said,
لعن الله الأقرب.
May Allah curse the scorpion.
لا تدع مصليا ولا غيره.
It does not leave a person making salah, nor anything else.
أو نبيا ولا غيره.
Nor even a messenger, nor anything else.
إلا لدغتهم.
Except that it will sting them.
ثم دعا بملح وماء.
And then he called for some utensils, water, and some cleaning
salt.
Things to be brought. Milh or salt.
فجعله في إناء.
And then he placed it in a container.
ثم جعل يصبه على إصبعه.
And then he put the water and the salt on his finger. In other words, with the scorpion.
نعم حيث لدغته ويمسحها.
And then he wiped it.
ويعوذها بالمعوذتين.
And he sought Allah's refuge he sought Allah's refuge from the poison of the bite by reciting those two surahs, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ.
نعم. So like, the first thing we do when we get a headache is run for the medicine cabinet, right? Which is fine, but the Prophet ﷺ first turned to Allah. And notice, he called for the salt and water. So you could look at that as taking the means, taking the medicine. That's what he had available. But he still connected it with Allah. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا آوى إلى فراشه كل ليلة.
When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would turn to his bed every night.
جمع كفيه ثم نفث فيهما.
He would gather his hands together and he would blow in them.
فقرأ فيهما قل هو الله أحد وقل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس ثم يمسح بهما ما استطاع من جسده.
And then he would recite those surahs and wipe as far over his entire body as he was able.
يبدأ بهما على رأسه ووجهه.
He would start by his head and his face.
وما قبل من جسده.
And the front of his body.
يفعل ذلك ثلاث مرات.
And he would do that three times.
So if you haven't been practicing this, and you're running to the Ajumachis and the Tukums and You know, that people who hand out the flyers in the corners, yeah, they can make some body parts bigger.
Make you in the lotto.
They can do all sorts of things. If you're running to them, but you're not turning to this, you know. You don't need somebody to do ruqya for you if you haven't even done the basics on yourself. It's like this craze that ruqya, amal mutna ruqya dun, right? Ibda' biman ta'ul, begin at home, right? And practice this with your children as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and he used to recite, U'idhu bikuma, U'idhukuma billahi wa kudratihi. No, it's not the one. A'udhu bi kalimati la itamati min sharri ma khalaq. U'idhukuma bi kalimati la itamati min sharri ma khalaq. He used to say that until the three calls were revealed, and then he would recite the three calls over them. The other is still valid, and that's also part of the dhikr, by the way. How does it go, Malana?
A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. I seek refuge in Allah's complete words, Allah's perfect words, from the evil of that which He created. So subhanAllah, it's even like realizing that the evil that is happening to you, it's not like within of itself that it's happening to you. Or the dukum is not busy dukuming you. He's only dukuming you because of Allah Ta'ala that had given him the ability and the power to make some sort of a dukum. But he wouldn't even be able to do so had Allah not allowed.
Naam. Jazakumullah. An Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مرض أحد من أهله
when any one of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's family members would get sick
نفث عليه بالمعوذات
he would blow on them with the معوذات the three calls
فلما مرض مرضه الذي مات فيه
when they would become sick
when
he صلى الله عليه وسلم became sick in his final sickness wherein he passed away
جعلت يعني عائشة أنفث عليه وأمسحه بيد نفسه.
I would recite and then blow in his hand and wipe his body with his own hand.
صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأنها كانت أعظم بركة من يدي.
Because his hand had more blessing, more baraka than my hands.
عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قالوا يا رسول الله أنسب لنا ربك فنزل قل هو الله أحد إلى آخرها
أنسب from نسب what is your lineage so they said يا رسول الله give us Allah's lineage where does Allah come from what is Allah's origin and then Allah سبحانه وتعالى revealed قل هو الله أحد
عن عبد الله بن بريدة عن أبيه قال سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا يقول اللهم إني أسألك أنت الله الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد الذي لم يلد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد سأل الله باسمه الأعظم الذي إذا سئل به أعطى وإذا دعا به أجاب
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard someone making dua and calling Allah by saying, "Oh Allah, I ask you, Allah, I ask you by the fact that your name is Allah, and who are you, Allah? You are Al Ahad. You are the ultimate one, indivisible. You did not come from a third and a third and a third that makes one, and you are not three minus two that is one. You are the complete, the ultimate one." The only one, As-Samad, the one that is not in need of anything, but rather everything is in need of him. Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad, the one that bears no offspring, nor was he from any offspring, walam yakul, or nor was he from any origin, from any parents. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahadun, and there is absolutely nothing like you, like him. I am asking you, O Allah. And when the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said that that person he had asked. Was the rest of the narration? لَقَدْ سَأَلَ اللَّهُ بِاسْمِ الْأَعْظَمِ Indeed, he had asked Allah by his ultimate greatest name. الَّذِي إِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى That when he is asked by that name,
then he will give. وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. And when he is called on by that name, then he will indeed answer.
هذا آخر مقطع في قصة إمام مسجد قباء. ذكرته هذا. هذه آخر شيء.
تصيف ربي. نعم جميل.
فضلوا. This is the last portion of the story. I'm in Osman. I need to tell the whole story, and then I've got the Arabic of the last portion there.
Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would, of course, when Islam would now spread, he would send always to different localities, somebody to give da'wah and to teach the Quran as well, to lead the people in salah and so on. So one Sahabi was in a particular area, and he would lead the people in salah, and in his first raka'ah of every salah, he would recite differently, but in the second raka'ah, every salah, five times a day, every salah, he would recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, every second raka'ah. And after some time, the jama'ah came, and mashallah, bacha lika muikha bacha, but that surah, when you bacha every day that same surah, bacha anastaki of the Qur'an, you know, you want to listen to something else. And then the sahabi said, no, I'm not going to, I'm going to recite the surah. And he kept on reciting surah Ikhlas in the second raka'ah. To the point that the people went to the Prophet ﷺ and they told him, Ya Rasulullah, we have this person, but this is our complaint. He doesn't want to read anything else. And the Prophet ﷺ called him, and you know, what is happening, what's going on? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Fulan, ma yamna'uka an taf'ala ma ya'muruka bihi ashabuk. What's wrong? Why are you now? What is preventing you from doing what your companions are requesting from you? Reading, you don't have to read the Qul Huwallahu Ahad in the second raka'ah, it's not fard. Why can't you read something else? So he said, Ya Rasulullah,
وَمَا يَحْمِلُكَ عَلَى
لُزُومِ هَذِهِ سُورَةً فِي كُلِّ رَكَعَةً. Why are you constantly reciting this surah in every raka'ah? So I mentioned that he would read in the second raka'ah, but sometimes he would even do it. He would recite something else in the first raka'ah, and then thereafter, قُلَا أَحَدْ. Right? So having it either in one or in both raka'ahs in that manner.
نعم.
فَسَمِعَ رَجُلُ تَالَى بِسْمِ اللَّهِ
وَجَبَتْ. The Prophet ﷺ passed by and the person was reciting, and then he said that person, Jannah is wajib.
Wajabat. The Prophet ﷺ heard him and said, Wajabat, it is wajib, it is wajib. In other words, Jannah is wajib for this particular person.
I just wanted to add, that Sahabi was reading. No problem.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
So he said, the Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ asked him, why do you recite that surah so religiously? And then his answer was simple. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tasifu Rabbi. It describes my Lord.
No, he said,
tasifu.
في رواية أخرى, لكن في هذه الرواية, إني أحبها.
إني أحبها. I love the surah. وفي كلاهما.
أيوه.
I love the surah because of the fact that it describes my Lord. And that's why I love to read it, because every time I get this renewed inscription in my mind of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And then the Prophet ﷺ told him that your love and dedication for the surah, حُبُّكَ إِيَّاهَا أَدْخَلَكَ أَوْ تَدْخُلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Your love for the surah will allow you to enter into Jannah. Subhanallah. Also, there is no problem in repeating something. So the surah, for example, should one want to recite قُلَ أَحَدْ in the first raka'ah, and then recite it again in the second raka'ah of your salah, that's totally fine. If you want to repeat it numerous times, you know, again, as the description of this hadith is, that it describes my Lord. So the repeating and thinking of Allah and thinking of the description of Allah, that there is nothing like Him, you know, there is absolutely nothing worth doing so. Allah knows best.
Naam. I also wanted to add, the Sahaba took issue because he was doing something, the Imam was doing something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. Right? Which is one of the strongest bits of evidence against the idea that anything that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do is a reprehensible innovation. Bid'ah sayyi'ah exists, and it's a very problematic concept. Very much so. But it's not as simple as whatever the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. Because had it been that anything he didn't do is automatically considered a reprehensible innovation, then this man would have been guilty of that. And there's no way that the Prophet ﷺ would have said, oh no, you're going to Jannah. Right? It's one example, there are many. But I thought I'd conclude with that, inshallah. Mawlana, we end, inshallah. Bismillah.
Al-Fatiha. اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا وارحمهم كما ربونا صغارا اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا وطلابنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين